Well, please open your Bibles now to 1 John in chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. It's our privilege once again to open up this epistle, to study it. It is, I remind you, the Word of the Lord. It is the Word of God, and it's our privilege today to open it up, study it together, and ask the Lord to speak to us through it. So, let me read the verses that we will look at. I'll pray, and then we will begin our study. The verses we're going to consider this morning are verses 19 through 24, but I want to begin reading in verse 16. So 1 John 3, beginning in verse 16, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. By this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word, we pray that you would open it up to us, that we would actually hear it, not just through the channels of our ears, but that we might hear it internally, that you would give us understanding, and that you would use it to speak to us in our souls, and that having spoken to us, that we might give a proper response to praise and thanks and to obedience. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. This is, in many respects, a difficult text. There are a lot of themes here, a lot of deep things. The deep things of God in these few verses. Things like knowing God, assurance of faith, things like conviction or the condemnation of the heart, things like prayer, things like God's commandments, things that please God, the work of the Holy Spirit, all these things are found in these few verses. And that makes it kind of a difficult thing to untangle. In fact, you know, I found it difficult to try to come up with an outline. I don't have an outline this morning. And then as I studied, I found out that I'm not the only one. There are many who said this is difficult to translate, it's difficult to organize, it seems to make many turns. So how do we lay it out? You know, that's a big question. And I wasn't any more successful than some others. I don't have an outline for you this morning. But I believe that, you know, in the midst of all these turns and these difficult sayings and these deep things of God, I think that it's fairly obvious what John is saying. Okay? So what I want for us this morning is to get the big picture. Now, we often try to do that, don't we? In fact, we always try to do that. When we look at God's Word, we want the big picture. We don't want to miss what it's really saying. So this morning, there's a big picture. And the big picture is that loving one another is a means of assurance before God. Loving one another is a means of assurance before God. It is the confidence that we get when we love one another. The confidence that we get when we love one another. And when we talk about assurance, and confidence before God. And this in itself is a kind of difficult subject at times. You know, there are many people who are believers who have struggled with assurance. I would go as far as to say that every true believer at some point or another has questions about their relationship with God. Some to a great extent, and some just maybe only at times. There are times when our heart condemns us, and there are times when our heart gives us great confidence. Now, what is this? Well, there are probably several reasons. You know, there are theological reasons, for instance. There are some people who don't believe that you can even know if you're a believer, that you can lose your salvation. So, how are they going to ever come to a right understanding of assurance if they don't even know if they're saved or not at any given moment? And so they live their life questioning, doubting, you know, trying to keep up their relationship with God. There are people who just don't know what the Scripture says. So they wrestle with this. You know, what is my relationship with God? You know, there have been some great eminent saints throughout church history who struggled with assurance of salvation. They know what God's Word says, but for some reason they wrestle with it. One of those is John Bunyan. You heard the story of John Bunyan. The author of Pilgrim's Progress, The Holy War, his own autobiography, Grace Abounding to the Cheapest of Sinners. John Bunyan, you know, for years, several years, he struggled with assurance of salvation. Went through many dark days, just not knowing for sure whether he was a Christian. There have been many others, he's not the only one. Some throughout church history, some even more recently, some very eminent saints, people that you would know that have gone through periods where they just wrestled with the assurance and confidence before God. So we know that it happens. We know from experience that at times we ourselves wrestle with assurance of God and confidence before Him. We also know, we just know this. We know that sin affects our relationship with God. We know this. How does it affect our relationship with God? Is it because God has failed us in some way? No. Is it because the work of Christ was faulty and didn't accomplish everything? No. Is it because the work of the Spirit is weak and He can't convince us? No. The Bible is clear that when we sin and live in sin, that it does affect our relationship with God. It affects our fellowship with God, our communion with God. John gives us the prescription of what to do when it happens, doesn't he? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we know that if we're living in sin, this is going to affect our relationship with God, isn't it? It's going to affect our fellowship. It's going to affect our communion with God. While everything else might be true, God hasn't failed us that Christ has saved us, we don't believe it, but it affects our relationship with God. Our fellowship, our communion, our sense of confidence before God, our assurance before God can be affected when we sin. Now, do we sin? Of course we do. John addresses, didn't he? We all sin. But we have an advocate before God, Jesus Christ the righteous, who intercedes for us. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us, and so forth. So, we know we sin. But John makes a distinction, doesn't he, between those who are believers who sin, who are convicted by, who convinced by, who confess their sins, who confess to acknowledge, to turn from, there's repentance in their hearts, and so they turn back to God, and there are those who make a profession of faith who live in sin. They have habitual practice of sin. Sin doesn't bother them. Well, there's a difference between those two people, isn't there? One, they're hypocrites. They're not believers at all. Others, they are. And the evidence is, you know, one of the evidences
that John gives us is they live a life of righteousness. Not perfection, but they're living a life that is right. And when they sin, they confess their sins, they live with this acknowledgement. And this is really what John is getting at when he says that we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We live with that confession. We live with that acknowledgement that we're sinners. We know we're sinners. We confess that. And when we sin, we confess particular sins to God and we turn from them. That's what sanctification is. And so we all agree that sin can affect our relationship with God. But our thinking might be a little faulty here because maybe we just have certain sins in mind. Maybe there's some sins that affect our relationship with God and not others. You know, if you're married, you wouldn't want to commit adultery. You wouldn't want to fall into sexual sins, fornication, you wouldn't want to fall into drunkenness, you wouldn't want to be a person who's given over to anger and maliciousness and there's a lot of hatred and meanness. Those kinds of things, if you're a believer, that's going to affect your relationship with God, isn't it? And that needs to be confessed, repented of, so that you can turn back to God. Did you know that failure to love one another falls in that category of sins that will affect your relationship with God? That's what John is saying here. He already said this. We looked at a point last week, but a failure to love one another will affect your relationship with God. It's sin. The sin of the relationship with God, persistent, continuing, absolutely well. This is John's point. Love for one another, the kind of love that John is describing, will give us that confidence. It's not the only thing. There are other things that can affect our assurance, affect our confidence before God, but love is something that will assure our hearts. It is something that will give us confidence before God, even in our prayers. Prayers can be effective whether or not we love one another. And so this is the big picture of what this text is all about. The assurance and confidence that comes when we, in fact, love one another. And when we don't love one another, and we have no proof of it, you know, taking an example, well, that ought to speak to us. It ought to say something to us. And it does. Now, let's just walk through the text then and see how John unfolds this thought. Verse 19, by what? Well, this is a trigger, isn't it? By this. We have to go back. Now, we don't have to go back to the entire text, though we could, but let's just go back to verse 18. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. It's one thing to say you love people, it's another thing to actually love people. Remember, love is active. Love flows. And so let's not be fools, be people who just say that we love one another, but let's be people who put it into action. And we have deeds of love. And so you say, by this, as we look back to how we love one another, by this, we shall know. We've come to that word know before. And here in another place, it speaks of a settled conviction. A settled conviction. By this, how we love one another, we shall know of a settled conviction that we are of the truth. What does that mean? Of the truth. Well, Jesus used these words. The apostles used these words. These words are written in Scripture. We know that there are a number of ways we could put it, but to be of the truth is to be of Christ. It's to know the truth. And John claims it's to be born again, to be children of God. And so by this, by the way we love one another, we can know, we have self-conviction that we are of the truth. That's a wonderful thing to know, isn't it? A wonderful thing to have subtle conviction on that we are of the truth. But not only that, he goes on to say, and to reassure our heart before him. Now, there are a couple of different ways to read this or to receive this. It might sound like this, that because of our law, we can know that we are of the truth, and this knowledge itself reassures our hearts before him. We could take it that way, right? But without getting into the details or caution weeds, what he's really saying, you know, sometimes in certain versions of the Bible, words are italicized because they weren't in the original, but they're added because it's assumed we need to have those words. What we know, like in the ESV and some other translations, that they don't do that, and they just kind of rearrange some words and add a few words now and then. But there is a word that could be added here. Okay? And it's the word we. By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and we reassure our heart for him. What John is talking about here, what John is telling us is that by this, the way we love one another, we not only know that we are of the truth, but we can actually assure our own hearts. That word assure, it means to convince, persuade. We persuade ourselves, we convince ourselves, we reassure ourselves, or we comfort our own hearts before him. But John is saying that this is one way that we know this, know that we love one another the way we should, we're being obedient to the commandment of Christ, love one another. Not only do we know that we're in the truth, but there are times that we can use this when we're going before God. And use it as persuasion. We're convincing ourselves, we're persuading ourselves, we're reassuring ourselves that we know the truth. Before him. See the word before him. Before God. Do we always have full confidence and assurance to go to God with boldness? We should. But there are times we don't. And he's saying, you know, this is something that you can use when you're going to God and going before God, and because what follows, we understand he's talking about something, going to the presence of God in prayer. We can go and we can offer this reassurance to our own hearts. We can comfort ourselves and we can persuade ourselves through the fact that we are keeping his commandments. And one of those commandments is that we are to love the brother, and we can give specific examples. It's not just words with me, but I've taken action. I am actively loving my brothers and sisters. And we use this to reassure ourselves. For, verse 20, whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Let's just read 21:2. We love that our heart does not condemn us, then we have confidence before God. There are times when we have confidence before God, and there are times when we don't. There are times when we're going to God and we are convicted, we are troubled, our souls are a state of unrest before God. Every believer has experienced that. There are times when our heart condemns us. Let's just say our heart convicts us. Our heart, in the Greek word cardia, so he's not talking about your literal heart, is he? It's a metaphor for inside. You know, something internal, something inside of us is condemning us, speaking to us, many times you're going to have this. For whenever it occurs, whenever our heart condemns us, well, guess what? There's something even greater than our hearts. And that's God. And God knows everything. Now, in fairness, I want to tell you that this is not the only way to see this verse or these words. There's another point of view, and I'll share it with you. It could be that John is saying that when our heart condemns us, we can reassure our hearts by sort of reminding ourselves or reminding God the fact that we love one another. And God is greater than our heart that condemns us. God knows everything, and He knows that we love the brothers. He knows all of these things. And we comfort ourselves knowing that God knows. That's a possible interpretation of this text. And there's nothing wrong with that interpretation. Now, as I've already said, what I believe John is saying, and this is by no means, I'm not on an island, I'm not on a branch by myself, I would say that your pure opinion is what I've said. That when our heart is condemning us, remember this, if your heart is condemning us, God is greater than your heart, and He knows everything. To add some weightiness to this, some seriousness to this. So by this, what? Our love. We shall know, we shall have this conviction, this settled conviction that we are of the truth, we belong to it, and we can use this knowledge to reassure, to persuade, to convince our own hearts before God. Whenever our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart, and He knows everything. But beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, now remember the context. Remember the context. You can get through it at home. What's the context? Love for one another. If your heart condemns you, think about it, because God knows more than you do. But if your heart is not condemning you, if you examine yourself and you have love, not in words, but in deed and truth. There are times when we have this confidence before God. So if our heart does not condemn us, what is the result? We have confidence before God. So when we love one another, we have this settled conviction, we are able to persuade, convince, and reassure ourselves, and we know that we have confidence with God, boldness with God, our heart is not condemned. To go to God. We can get on our knees and we know the two great commandments, and He's going to kind of remind us of this later. Love God and love everybody else. Remember those two? And we can get on our knees before God. We can go to Him with boldness, knowing that by His help, by His grace, His Spirit working in us, we are doing everything we can to keep His commandments, to love Him only, and to love one another more than ourselves. And this gives us boldness of God. Our heart isn't condemning us. Our heart isn't convicting us. There's nothing there to say, hey, you're on your knees before God, but what about your brother? Remember the place where we're taught in Scripture that if you come to offer something in worship, you remember you have a problem between you and a brother, then leave the altar, leave the sacrifice, and go straighten those things out, because your right relationship with people is necessary to have a right relationship with God, even in worship. And so this can give great comfort and assurance and boldness for God, before God, when we know we love one another. And then he goes on to say, because here's the reason why we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. We're keeping His commandments. So the fruit of assurance, the fruit of confidence, comes from keeping His commandments. And here, what he's talking about is the commandment to love one. This pleases him. So you're living a life that's keeping his commandments, you know this is pleasing the Lord, you know that you're loving your brothers, and this gives great confidence in your God when you're before him. It goes on to say, verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of the Son of Jesus, Son, in his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he's commanded us. So he's coming back to this now and making it very clear what he's talking about. This is two great commandments, two things you need to be thinking about. Two things you have to know for sure. You have to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. We know what that means. It's not just having mental assent. Oh, I know who he is. I know who he is. I know God may cause. But it is to place your faith and trust in him and to follow him. So you have to believe in Jesus Christ. But the second commandment is what? That you love one another. And if you say you do these two things, you will have confidence before God. You will have boldness before God. This is something that you can reassure your hearts about. Before him, just practical terms. John said, look, when you go before God, you go before the Holy One. And you're going even in prayer. You can be comfortable and you can reassure yourselves with the fact that you know Christ and you love your brothers. Which means the opposite is also true. If you don't love your brothers, what's going to happen? Your assurance is going to wane. You know, I've talked about before, you know, the assurance meter. You know, it's either low or it's high. Well, it's high when we are living in God, we're following him, and loving the brothers and sisters. But when we are loving ourselves, or loving the world, that assurance meter begins to go down. And this is commanded to believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another just as he has commanded us. And whoever keeps his commandments abides in God. His commandments abides in God. We've been talking about abiding. This goes back to chapter 2, doesn't it? We're talking about abiding in him, remaining in him. We've been anointed by the Spirit of God. Because of the anointing by the Spirit of God, we will remain, we will abide in Christ, and Christ will abide in us. Remember that indicative? You know, we abide in him, he abides in us, and so we're given the imperative then to what? Abide. And so whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, remains in God, and God in him. This is a word of assurance. If you're keeping his commandments, you believe in his Son, and you love one another, you know that you abide in God, and God is abiding in you. And by this, we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. How is it that we're made aware of these things? By the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God, you know, who we are known to by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the one who gives us new birth, comes to dwell in each believer. Spirit of God gives us affirmation, confirmation back to our children of God. And when we keep his commandments to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and do all that he has commanded, including loving one another, then we have this confidence, this assurance that we abide in God and that God abides in us, and we know that by the Spirit he's given to us. Because this is a spiritual thing, and the Apostle Paul said, how do we understand spiritual things? It's by the Spirit of God. Because spiritual things are not discerned, not understood by natural people, are they? They're spiritual things that need to be spiritually discerned. How is that what the Spirit of God is? So he said, there's some deep things here. But they all tie together on this common thread. Love one another. If you love one another, you will know that you are the truth. It will reassure your hearts. You can use it as confidence to bolster, to reassure your heart before God. And remember that God knows everything anyway. So, when we love, we have confidence before God. And it's interesting that he says in verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and love one another. This even affects our prayers, doesn't it? This even affects our prayers. So the big picture. What's John saying here? The big picture is that if you love one another the way that he commanded you to, it will be a means of assurance for you. Loving one another will give you confidence before God. It will give you boldness in your prayers. Now, we would be speculating, but if we wanted to speculate for a moment, why does John mention prayer? It may be, as many believe, that John is suggesting what he's talking about, we love one another, we're praying for one another. And as we pray for one another, as I pray for you, and you pray for me, and we're walking in obedience to the Lord, and all his commandments, the Lord grants our prayers, and according to his will, for one another. This will affect your prayer. I don't know if that's what John has in mind, but it seems to make sense in context. Why does he mention prayer? Because we pray for one another. That's what we do. We do love one another. So the big picture is, there are a lot of things that can affect our relationship to God. We know this now. It will affect our fellowship with God, our communion with God. That those things will affect our confidence before God. It will affect our assurance, the assurance of our salvation. And we all come up with this list of things that might affect our relationship to God. Never taking time to think, but our relationship to God, our fellowship, communion with God is affected by whether or not we love each other. I dare say this, many believers can go through years sitting in a pew and never doing anything to reach out to another believer. What did he say in the previous verses? By this we know what love is. Christ laid down his life for us. If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how is God's love abiding him? And the answer is, well, to God's present. And so, little children, brothers and sisters, let us not love the word or talk. Let us not say it. Let's actually do it. And by this, we will know. And we will be able to assure our own hearts before God. And there are times when we have great confidence and boldness before God when we keep His commandments. And His commandments are to believe in Jesus and love each other. And you will know that you are abiding in God and that God is abiding in you by keeping these two commandments. And you know this because the Spirit of God has told you so. That's what this text is about. So what's the application? Need I say? Love one another. Love one another. You know, like I said the last week and the week before, if I said to you, show me your hands if you're a Christian and you love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Everybody's going to raise their hand. But if I said, okay, let me give you some examples. Let's have a 30-minute testimony behind it. Everybody can share how someone has shown you that they love you. Well, that might be a little different. They don't go together. But they'd be great. good. It doesn't match. One of these things doesn't belong. If you love God, then you love your brothers. And if you love your brother, you're showing it. It's active. How does all God abide in you if you're not showing love? Well, what would you say? It isn't. You want to have great confidence, assurance before God, boldness before God, then love one another. And this you can use to reassure your own hearts. I know. I'm keeping God's commandments, and I am actively loving my brothers. Love one another. I said it a couple of weeks ago. I remember looking out the window here and saying, I don't care, really, you know, in a sense. You know, you're saying it, but you have to understand it. I don't really care what's going on out there. In a sense, I don't care what the other churches are doing. I care about what we're doing. I don't pastor people out there. I pastor people in here. The song we sang earlier, blessed be the time of rise and see the great love these folks have for the pastor now again, but then one for another, one for another. That's what we ought to care about. Who you love, look around. Have you ever seen someone in a meeting that closed your heart? That's not the love of God. And it's no wonder that there's sometimes that weak assurance. We don't have boldness of God. So what? Do that. Love one another. Let's pray. Father in heaven, your word is quick and powerful. And it cuts our hearts. If we in our days would say, search us, O Lord, and see if there be any grievous or wicked way in us. Hearts would be laid open, and in fact, our hearts are laid open before God who sees all things. God, we confess that we do not love one another as we ought. We pray, God, because we have the Spirit of God in us, we're born of God. We pray that you do a work of grace in our lives, that each one of us and examine ourselves to see how we stand. I pray, God, that we would be people who be known for our love. That the world, the unconverted world, would look upon us and say, they love one another. And by this we know that they are disciples of Christ. We pray these things in the name of God. Our dear Savior, Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. In his name.